A few years ago, I read a book called Heaven is Real by Don Piper, who tells his real life experience. So he was 38 years old and he was driving across a bridge and he was hit by an 18-wheel sort of tractor trailer. Four emergency vehicles sort of turned up on the scene and Don Piper was pronounced dead. And here's the extraordinary thing. He ended up surviving. He was in hospital for in excess of 100 days. He had over 34 sort of operations. And most extraordinary of all, claims to have spent 90 minutes in heaven. Now, whether you believe that or not, I think it's worth reading the book. You know that kind of experience, if it really happened, would change your life. And in this book, he introduces the concept that really struck me because it resonated with my experience. He said this: you come to a point in your life where your world is turned upside down. Nothing is the same. You won't be able to go back to the way that things were. You'll have to find a new normal. But I've certainly been in that place, as many of you will know, and that is all of our experience at the moment, isn't it? Something has happened that is out of our control, and in an instant with this pandemic, with the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, our lives have all dramatically changed and we are discovering a new normal. I talked to somebody a little while ago who'd had a near-death experience. Their intestines had ruptured and they were rushed in for emergency surgery and they were on a respirator for a number of days. Now, they didn't get to spend 90 minutes in heaven. I don't know what that says about them, but they told me that God had brought them through that experience, that they'd had several surgeries. They'd lost 25 pounds in a week. I think they would rather have been on the swim fast diet than have to go through what they'd gone through. But they said this: the Lord spared my life. And I remember him saying this, that one of the most poignant moments for him was his first night at home after he'd come out of hospital. And his children were tucked up in bed and they were sound asleep. And he walked into their room and he looked at them as they slept. And he said that he was overwhelmed with gratitude because they still had a father. You know, it's hard to describe, I know, but our lives are never the same after something like that. It is a new kind of normal. It's like the new kind of normal that we're all experiencing at the moment. And like you, I suspect I've had bad days, and there are days when I just take things for granted. But I also know that some of the bad things that have happened to me, you know, because of those experiences, in the light of those experiences, the sun shines a little bit brighter. Beautiful things are a little more beautiful. Precious relationships are a little more precious. Jokes are a little bit funnier, and sweet tea is a little bit sweeter. And maybe if you've been through that sort of experience, you appreciate the gift of life a little bit more. And the truth is, this Easter, and we all know what I mean, you know, we are talking about a new kind of normal. This is our reality now. And 2,000 years ago, in a place just outside of the ancient sort of walls of Jerusalem, Jesus of Nazareth was nailed to a cross on a Friday. And he was put in a grave right before the Sabbath. And a couple of days later, on the Sunday morning, something happened. Something was different. When those who were sent to see Jesus arrived at the tomb, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And I want to suggest that a new kind of normal, a new reality was introduced that day. And I think that's what Peter is trying to describe in 1 Peter chapter 1. You might want to go there if you've got a Bible, because we're just going to sort of reflect on that during the course of this morning. But I think that's what 1 Peter 1 describes. Peter is coming at this new normal. He's coming at this new reality because of something historical that has happened. And he describes it this way: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, his boundless mercy, I love that phrase. It's a wonderful phrase. And we have a hard time comprehending the word boundless, don't we? Because we are trapped in four dimensions of space and time. And we therefore tend to think of God in four-dimensional terms. But God is not limited by time and space. He exists outside of those dimensions. There is no limit to his mercy. And that is incredible news. Listen, none of us have messed up too much. God's mercy is without limit. God's mercy is boundless. Do you know that there are a couple of things that God can't do? He can't lie. Scripture says that point blank. And do you know what else he can't do? He can't stop loving us. He can't stop loving you. He can't stop loving me because his mercy is boundless. His mercy knows no boundaries. You know, I'm just under 6'2". I have physical boundaries and limits to what I can do and where I can go. But God is boundless. There are no limits to God. There are no limits to his mercy. And by his boundless mercy, he has given us the privilege of being born again. Such an interesting word, isn't it? It means a fresh beginning. It means a new start. And now we live with a wonderful expectation. Why? Because Jesus rose again from the dead. Now I know it's Easter time and this Easter's sort of different, of course, but usually when it's Easter, there are all sorts of Easter extravaganzas going on around us, aren't there? There are egg hunts going on in local parks or in our back gardens. And just during this past week, I've just imagined what it would have been like if it had been normal, as we used to know it, you know, with little children running around the parks, looking for those eggs and claiming their eggs and tucking into those eggs and thinking what great fun that would be. And I think that's a bit of a picture of a wonderful expectation. Children filled with this wonderful expectation of finding eggs, getting ready to go on an Easter egg hunt, this sort of expectation, this anticipation. And you know what? There is a psychological need in all of us that we have to look forward to things. We need something to hold out for, something to believe for, something to dream for. If we don't have things to look forward to, then it can be really hard to get through life. But if you have something to look forward to, we can actually get through just about anything. It is that wonderful expectation that defines the new normal, the reality with which we live as followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because if Jesus was truly raised from the dead, then all bets are off. All assumptions are out of the window. There is a new reality that has created this sense of possibility, this wonderful expectation that all things are possible. It's really hard to describe, and it's hard to grasp what I'm trying to describe, but it is an amazing thing. Maybe I would describe it this way. If you took Jesus out of the equation of my life, then my life would be way too normal. But when you add Jesus to the equation of my life, when we add Jesus to the equation of our lives, then you never know when he's going to show up and what he's going to do. There is this sense of possibility that defines our lives as followers of Jesus. And it is this precious gift that Jesus has given to us. There was this Danish philosopher called Soren Kierkegaard who once said, "If I were to wish for anything, I would not wish for wealth and power, but for the passionate sense of what can be. So the eye which is ever young and ardent sees the possible. Pleasure disappoints, possibility never. And what wine is so sparkling, what is so fragrant, what is so intoxicating as possibility." And I think that's part of what the resurrection means to us. It infuses a sense of possibility in our lives and it changes into a new normal. In 1964, a guy by the name of James Stuart Bell published a paper on the Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen paradox. And I'm not sure whether you're familiar with that. I know that some of the church family will be, but it revolutionized the world of quantum physics. And it essentially disproved the principle of local causes, which states that the relationship between particles must be mediated by local forces. This will make sense in just a minute, so hold on. Bell's research indicated that regardless of distance, everything in the universe seems to be interconnected. Now, almost all of classical physics rests on the assumption that nothing in the universe that can travel faster than the speed of light, that's 186,000 miles per hour, that was assumed to be the universal speed limit. But experiments went on to show that if two subatomic particles shoot into space as a result of a subatomic reaction, they always seem to influence each other no matter how far they travel. What happens to one particle happens to other particles superluminally, or faster than the speed of light. There's this invisible link between all particles, you know, in the universe that defies space and time. And the technical term is instantaneous non-locality. But Einstein referred to this as spooky action at a distance. And by the way, I think that's a pretty good definition of sovereignty, actually, spooky action at a distance, where God invades our space and time and does things that we could never, ever have predicted. In essence, here's what Bell's research did. It redefined what is and what is not possible. Classical physics assumed that nothing could exceed the speed of light. Bell's theorem challenged that assumption. We live in a non-local universe with superluminal connections. And what I think I'm getting at is this, okay? We make too many assumptions about what is and what is not possible. And the more faith you have, I think, the fewer assumptions you make. And the fewer assumptions we make, I think, the greater our expectations are. If you reverse that all the way out, I think what I'm trying to get at is this. The discovery in the scientific realm, where assumptions are out of the window, it redefines what is and what is not possible. And that is, to me, a description of what the resurrection actually means. And I'd better stop making assumptions, because who knows when God might show up in my life and do things that are absolutely impossible. The resurrection that we celebrate this Easter Sunday challenges our most basic assumptions that death is the end of life. It challenges that assumption. Many years ago, I tore my anterior cruciate ligament in my right knee playing a game of rugby. And I went to see a doctor a little while afterwards. I wasn't even sure that I knew what an anterior cruciate ligament was back then. But I said to him, how long would it take to heal? And I remember him saying, ligaments don't heal. I remember that feeling as I sat there in the surgery. I felt like I'd been hit by a brick wall traveling at 70 miles an hour in my direction. And I had these two feelings. I had this sense of finality, the damage that had already been done. And I had this sense of helplessness as well. And I learned a lesson the hard way that day, that some things in life are irreversible. I've learnt during the course of my life that you can't unbake cakes, okay? You can't unrun a red light. You can't undelete a document that's been deleted. You know, there are some things in life that are irreversible. To put it in terms of physics, the second law of thermodynamics states that left to its own devices, everything in the universe moves towards disorder or decay. It's called the law of entropy. Cars rust, toys break, ice cream melts. There are some things in life that are irreversible. You cannot undo them. But if you put Jesus into the equation, it changes everything. And it seems to me that as I read the Gospels and you sort of zoom out and you look at the big picture, it seems to me that Jesus went around reversing the irreversible. He reversed weather systems. He reversed blindness. He reversed leprosy. He reversed death on that first Easter Sunday morning. Jesus specializes in reversing the irreversible. And I want that thought to speak into the situation that we find ourselves in, and for it to breathe a new reality into our lives, a new normal into our lives. I love the account in Luke 22 of Jesus reversing the irreversible. And I think it is a real picture of what he came to do. Okay, I don't know whether you remember the story, but during Holy Week, we've been sort of going through the final week of Jesus' life. And there was a moment during that week when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And do you remember how the soldiers came to arrest Jesus? And Peter pulls out a sword. It often fascinates me that Jesus was carrying a sword in the first, that Peter was carrying a sword in the first place. Did he normally walk around with a sword? I don't know. But Malchus, the servant of the high priest, approaches Jesus. And impulsive Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off his ear. And I would want to suggest to you that at this moment, Peter is in a lot of trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus got arrested for having done nothing wrong. So how could Peter cut off someone's ear and get away with it? You know, worst case scenario, Peter gets charged with sort of attempted murder. Best case scenario, he gets charged with assault and battery with a deadly weapon. In one way or another, Peter is in a lot of trouble here. And that's when Jesus intervenes. You know, in verse 51, it says this, Jesus says, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and he healed him. And then we just keep reading as though nothing has happened. It's extraordinary. This is remarkable. This man's ear was amputated with a sword, and Jesus takes it and reattaches it and reverses the irreversible. But he does more than that, I think. He's demonstrating to us that God destroys the evidence that is against us. You know, just think about this. Imagine Malchus sort of filing a lawsuit against Peter and taking the witness stand and saying to the court, "Peter cut off my ear." And the judge says, "Which ear?" And Malchus says, "Well, it was my right ear." So the judge gets down from his seat, walks around and looks at his right ear, and he sees that there's an ear there, and he says, "It looks fine to me." And the case is thrown out of court for lack of evidence. And that is a picture of what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the evidence against us. That's what he did on the cross. How does he do it? He does it by reversing the irreversible in our lives. And aren't you just grateful? Just imagine what life would be like if there was no one to invade our life and reverse those irreversible conditions in our lives, the greatest of which is our sinful condition. Aren't you grateful that we're connected to a God who can reverse the irreversible? It just seems to me that everyone Jesus encountered walked away with a new reality. They walked away with a new normal. And you've probably never cut off anyone's ear, at least I hope not, but it goes beyond that. And I think what I'm trying to say is this, okay, 2,000 years ago, something happened that is not disconnected from our daily lives. And my concern is this, that a lot of us live as if someday, hopefully, God will resurrect our bodies and we will spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's certainly at the heart of the Christian faith. But some of us live and say that is a future tense thing. And I think what I want to suggest is that what if we got up every morning and reminded ourselves that 2,000 years ago, Jesus reversed the irreversible. He was dead, and he came back to life. And what if we allowed that reality to shape our lives? If we did, then I suspect we would live differently. So let me put it this way. Is there something that has died in your life? I want to say this. God can resurrect it. It may even be in the season when we're a little bit overwhelmed with coronavirus. It may be something as simple as laughter. You don't laugh as much as you used to laugh because of the circumstances that we're confronted with. God can resurrect laughter and joy in our lives. I don't know what it is for you. It will be different for all of us. But I want to believe that Jesus can show up anytime, any place, and change the reality of our lives. We live in a world that is governed by physical laws. The second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy. But there is something else introduced in this passage in 1 Peter, and I want you to see what it says. It says that there is this wonderful expectation because we have been born again because Jesus was raised from the dead. It says that we have this privilege of being born again. What an incredible privilege. We can start over again. We can begin new chapters in our lives because God can reverse what seems irreversible in our lives. And I want to encourage you this Easter time to hold on for that. And I love the way in verse 4, Peter says this, we have been given an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The New Living Translation says our inheritance is beyond the reach of decay. And it sounds like God has given something to us that the second law of thermodynamics cannot touch. It's a reality that is greater, is larger, it's longer, it's bigger, because it is eternal. And that inheritance is ours as we continue to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that in the end it comes back to this? As Paul writes in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What an amazing truth. What a reality. What a new normal. It changes everything and gives us something to look forward to when we live our lives with this wonderful expectation. And the reality is that a lot of us have a lot of living left to do. But we get to live with this wonderful expectation that death is not the end, but that it is a new beginning. In fact, it is the new reality, the new normal. A normal that is way beyond anything that we could ever imagine or conceive of. A place where there is no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more coronavirus, no more crying or pain. A place that is beyond the touch of decay. A place where, as we simply put our faith in Jesus and walk with Jesus, we look forward to an eternity with him because of Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to you all.